President Ronald Reagan once said that the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help." Thought of that quote, being a quoteaholic, when I started looking at the idea of, they're called central bank digital currency. Supporters of the CBDC want you to think of it as a useful monetary tool, especially for lower income people. My next guest is here to fill you in on why there are more concerns about CBDCs than what has become traditional crypto, I guess we'd call them. And that's saying something, by the way. He's a senior fellow and director of finance policy with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, John Berlau. Thanks for being here today, John.
Thanks so much for having me here, Chris.
CEI.org, website for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Learn about this issue and the other important issues, the address with actual facts and research, so you get a better understanding of all this. I guess I gave a good overview, at least I think so, of what a CBDC is. But how does a CBDC differ from a Bitcoin, for example?
You did give a good overview, thank you. And one of the things I write about, as you said, CEI.org, is that in this case, the ledger or the blockchain for the central bank digital currency and all of the passwords, basically, the government would have all that data. Whereas before, with traditional banking and with cryptocurrency, some private individuals and private cryptocurrency, there's even more with the blockchain and, you know, in encryption and availability to prevent, you know, the most sensitive data from, while the blockchain is public and the transactions, the people who made them are private. But here with a central bank digital currency, the government would be running the blockchain or the ledger and would have all the information. So it would know if you spent money for guns, for a gas stove, or anything else it deems politically incorrect, and could penalize your bank account directly with the Fed accordingly.
Which is not unusual. We've seen this happen in, not with CBDCs, but I've been seeing a rash of coin dealers, metal dealers, because of the crime waves that have been happening in larger cities, even keeping their money in the bank instead of having a stash in an in-store safe. So when they make a purchase, they've been doing these sizable withdrawals in the bank, and these banks have been shutting down their accounts, legitimate accounts, because of what they're deeming to be suspicious activity, which doesn't sound much different from what could be possible with the feds overlooking what you might be legitimately doing to sizable amounts, maybe yes, maybe no, with CBDCs.
Well, that's really problematic, what's going on with suspicious activities and the overuse, but CBDC would be that much worse. I mean, now at least the bank, you know, has to report it, or the government has to get a subpoena for the government to have that information. But if the Federal Reserve were running a central bank digital currency, it would automatically have that information. It could program the computers where it would be a red flag every time you purchase a gun or a gas stove or a coin or even a private cryptocurrency. China is already implementing the digital yuan for the express purposes of having social credit services. And you saw in Canada where they froze bank account of just anyone who was even, you know, financially supporting the truckers. So, yes, all of the trends we're seeing with financial surveillance would be that much worse with a CBDC because the government, you know, automatically has the data.
If you look at, if you look at at least the initial reception of this idea, well, first and foremost, this is according to a Cato Institute poll from earlier this year. The vast majority really aren't sure about what the elements of a CBDC are. If you look overall, 49% of respondents said they either don't know or have neither a thumbs up or a thumbs down. And you look by party division, seems like Republican respondents seem to be at least the most aware of CBDCs, with only 36% saying, "I don't know what they are." But across the board, there is total opposition. 34% generally, 53% against it among Republican respondents, 27% among independents, 22% among Democrats. If you look at how this played out, wasn't there a country in Africa that went full out digital currency, and that did not work?
Nigeria banned cash, and there was, even with their you know, the problems with their financial system, they did not want to surrender to the government all their data. So there was just a full on, you know, protest and refusal to use the new what's called the e-naira.
This is, you know, feel concerned about this immediately because we're having the Feds trying to further control currency when the federal government electronically can barely operate the SNAP program with all the mysteries and all the bad acts going through that. But being impartial here with cryptocurrency, it has been a concern of illicit and illegal activities. When it comes to a federal cryptocurrency, which in effect this would be a CBDC, is some surveillance necessary only because of the criminal element that uses it for their advantage?
Well, yes. I mean, we have that today. It's called the Fourth Amendment, that where somebody can, you know, whether they're using cryptocurrency or the internet or whatever, you can get a warrant or a subpoena and look at what they're doing. And the crypto exchanges like Coinbase have been very cooperative in that. In fact, in some ways, the blockchain is easier because it's actually what is spent is public. If you get a subpoena, that can alert your law enforcement if something's illicit. You can get a subpoena and seeing who is spending it. There have been several busts with cryptocurrency, including like the Silk Road, drug network where people went to jail. But at the same time, we want the government to be able to, when there is reasonable suspicion or probable cause that bad guys and gals are operating, we don't want them to just to have everyday access to our information. And that's what private cryptocurrency helps protect privacy. But a CBDC would let the government, including it could be hacked by criminals. I mean, the government is no great keeper of, as you were mentioning, some of the problems of data. Some of the things, DMV leaks, the Office of Personnel Management, again, so just, from government officials looking at it when they inappropriately to actual criminal hacks, I mean, CBDC, increases the risk for all of that.
So with John Berlow, Senior Fellow, Director of Finance Policy with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Just to help someone who might not be tech savvy or understanding what the crypto platforms are all about, maybe this will be a more brick and mortar idea presentation for them. Is this like I'm the boss of a business, a manager of a business, and I'm seeing an employee of mine go into the liquor store daily, maybe a couple of times a day. I've seen them come in and out as I'm driving by. I'm sitting in the parking lot waiting for someone to come by. I dropped off at the store. And I'd take that employee into the office under the suspicion, okay, I think you're an alcoholic. We have a problem here. I might have to terminate you. Is that sort of the misguided surveillance and oversight that the CBDC would allow the federal government to do just based on what I see versus the actual act of something wrong being done? Right. They're jumping ahead.
Yes, if you were using the Fed's digital money that it was operating, having your bank account at the Fed or somebody coordinating with the Fed, they would just have that. They would be able to see everything you spend from liquor to guns to a gas stove, if that's, which governments are increasingly trying to ban. So everything, and they could also have the ability to credit and debit your account. The Biden administration nominee who was withdrawn, when even a few Democrats opposed her, Sally Amorova, recommended that the government credit and debit accounts for behaviors they liked and disliked.
Oh, yeah, that would go over well among the population, would it not? And I know you don't deal with conspiracies, but there is one out there regarding all this, that this is the start of the recall of all physical currency, which, granted, happened in the past with gold and silver, but that's not what they're talking about here, at least not yet, I guess.
No, it depends on the advocate. Some are actually saying, and they actually tried to do this in Nigeria, to withdraw cash, that yes, that cash is used, by criminals. I mean, I say airplanes are used by criminals too. We don't ban that. So yes, you have, it's not a conspiracy. Some people are openly advocating doing this in tandem. Not everybody who advocates it. Some are doing like a public option, but I mean, very much, and this would make it easier to do, where everything would have to be. At the same time, you also have people who are talking about banning cryptocurrency, such as Senate Banking Committee Chairman Sherrod Brown, and who is banning private cryptocurrencies are on the table, that when, you know, the government, just to control our purchases, China banned private cryptocurrencies before it put in the digital yuan, its central bank digital currency, for the social credit surveillance system.
Now, I know this past week, the CBDC Anti-Surveillance Act made some progress through committee. Now it'll be going through the House to the Senate, then to the president's desk. What are the elements of the Anti-Surveillance State Act, and does it address the concerns that you and others are expressing about CBDCs?
Very much so, and it's actually been strengthened when Majority Whip Tom Emmer, House Majority Whip, Republican of Minnesota, sponsored this and listened to some of our suggestions for ways that it'd be strengthened. It bans the Federal Reserve from issuing a central bank digital currency, both directly or indirectly through a contractor. Now, that second part is through a contractor is important because Chairman Powell, when he testified, he said we wouldn't do it directly, but he said we might have an intermediary. Well, this would ban that. Now, the Fed has already said the Fed has said, you know, well, we would never do this without Congress, but you can. It's fair to be suspicious that they have their fingers crossed, and they're already trying pilot programs with these. In fact, I recommended Congress also passed legislation to ban pilot programs, and that they've, you know, snuck through the FedNow, you know, sort of payment takeover system, which is sort of a precursor to CBDCs without authorization from Congress. So this is a very good bill, and if I could send a good signal to the Fed and really to the world that the U.S. The U.S. House is listening to the people's concerns about CBDCs.
And as I mentioned, the chain being what it is, what are the prospects in the Senate? And even more importantly, what are the prospects once it gets to President Biden's desk?
Well, a lot of people in the Biden administration, including, well, his withdrawn nominee from the Office of Comptroller of Currency, support this, and Sherrod Brown in the Senate and Senate Bank Committee has been supporting this. So I don't know that it's, you know, anything is, you know, if people call their congressmen and say, you know, we don't like this, you know, you never know what they're going to, you know, they might, you know, be forced to. If this were made as a condition of, like, say, the government funding bills, then yes, you know, you could have something like, this could be, and that's what they should be doing, is saying, you know, as far as that, you know, we don't want to fund the government for it to create this currency to spy on us. I mean, the Fed, you know, its way of funding is unaccountable anyway, because it doesn't get direct funding from Congress, and every agency, I believe, should. So, but that's the thing. It could be a condition. It should be a condition to a must-pass bill. I think the issue is that important that they don't think the Democrats were going to I don't think the Senate is going to try on their own. But if you made it a condition to a funding bill, then you'd get some good results, because it's polling very badly with the people, that more and more of the American people and people around the world are onto this.
And when you look at, too, in effect, how much of a Wild West atmosphere all of crypto really is in the private sector, do you really want, given the federal government's track record of managing and operating innovation and technology, do you want them involved with that? And more importantly, do you want it forced upon you for the reasons and the methods that John just described? Learn more about this issue at the Competitive Enterprise Institute at CEI.org. He is our senior fellow, director of finance policy, John Berlow. John, thanks for helping us better understand why we need to be concerned about this and why we need to raise our voices against this. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks so much for having me on, Chris.